them, they will become like the world. Did you hear that? If we let the world raise our children, they will become like the world. But we want them to be kingdom-minded children, amen? We want them to learn about the kingdom of God because that is their identity and that is the kingdom that they belong to, amen? We'll give the workers a few more moments to go downstairs and then we're going to start in prayer and go into the word, amen? Again, I do want to apologize from the bottom of my heart for those of you that did not put your hands out and I got a little upset. That was me in the flesh. That was not God. So you forgive me. That was me. I fell short. I apologize, okay? It's not for me to make you do anything. It's a decision, okay? It just, sometimes I can get so excited, but I don't want to be like Moses and hit the rock. Do you understand? So I apologize to each and every one of you. I want you so bad to have it, but I can't make you take it. All right? So my apology. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that you have sent today for your people. And we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ down, the bread of heaven, to be a partaker of the life that only he can give. For your word has said that men cannot live and shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that the words that come out of my mouth not be mine. Holy Spirit, I ask for your anointing to overtake me at this time and speak life into your people. Lord, I ask that you would remove every hindrance to every individual from receiving the word of God, every bit of doubt, every bit of skepticism, every agnostic spirit, every atheist spirit, every rebellious spirit. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, your light has come into this world. And my desire this morning, God, is that your light would shine into the lives of everyone, especially the ones that think they already have it but do not. Let your light shine into every heart, especially of those of us that walk in darkness, but call it light. Help us to receive your words as truth, as gospel truth. May we be partakers of that which is divine this morning. Give us spiritual ears to hear what your spirit says to the church. Give us ears to hear this morning what your spirit says to the church through your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so important, brothers and sisters, and again, welcome. It's so important that we have ears to hear God. You don't want to miss God. You want to have ears that work, okay? Some of you have your hard of hearing naturally, so you must have a hearing aid because you don't want to miss information. You don't want to miss a horn that's blowing when it could be your life at risk. You don't want to miss the doctor saying, just take two of these pills in the morning and you take four. It could cost you your life. You've got to have an ear to hear so that your life may be saved. But then when you hear, it must be mixed with faith. Can you say faith? Yes, that's a beautiful word. And every single one of you have a measure of faith. Say this, I have faith. That means that it's in your possession. It's yours to use. It's nobody else's. Nobody else can affect it. Nobody else should be able to move it and especially steal it. It's your faith. So God has given us all a measure of faith so that when we hear the truth, our faith can mix with truth and produce life within us. It's very important that you have an ear to hear. Because some of us have been spiritually deaf for a long time. God has been calling us to come out of sin, but we plug our ears. God has been saying, surrender your life to me. He loves us so much. He says, surrender your life to me. Those of you that seek to find life will lose it. But if you will lose it for his sake, you will find it. When I was about 16 years old, I was driving my Ford Tempo on the way to basketball practice or open gym. and I turned off of Shawnee Road onto Zermelo Road, and I heard a voice. It was not an audible voice, okay? It's not like someone was sitting beside me in the car, but I still heard a voice in my spirit, in my inner man. I heard something that was not from myself. It was something exterior. And that thing that I heard said, drive fast. Drive fast. And now I know, in hindsight, that was death talking to me. So I began to drive as fast as that little car could go around the curves. And that's how a lot of you are living your life right now. You're driving, you're living life, you're waking up, you're doing things, but you don't even understand if it's death you have or life. So I began to drive that car as fast as I could. Then another voice. Can you say another voice? Another voice spoke to me again, not audibly, but I heard it. And this time it was more forceful, and I had a decision to make because it was a commandment. It was a commandment. When something is a commandment, you don't have a choice. You better listen to the commandment. Commandments are important. Commandments are not flexible. There is no leeway with commandments. There is no wiggle room with commandments. You either obey a commandment and live, or you disobey a commandment and die. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? So that voice that came to me said, stop the car. What it did not say is slow down the car. It said, stop the car. So I put my foot on the brake and immediately came to a halt. And exactly at that moment, three large deer walked out in front of my car. I'm trying to tell you that death is out there, but life is too. And it's our decision. It's our decision, every single one of us, to choose life over death. Because God said this to us. He sets before us both life and death. Choose life. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Choose life. So it was Jesus that spoke to me that morning, because his name is life. The word of God says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the bridge from this side of life to eternal life. If we don't take Jesus, then we don't have life. If we don't obey Jesus to a T, then we don't have life. The word of God says some of us have just a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, can you say suddenly? I'm praying to God this morning that a suddenly would happen in here. That men and women would suddenly see life and death before them and choose one. A suddenly. Thank you, God. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. Praise God. Do you not understand that there are heavenly beings called angels that can roll away all those things in your life that's hindering you and sit on them? Do you hear what I'm saying? There's some things that are blocking your blessings. There are some things that are blocking your health, blocking success in your marriage, blocking things that God desires you to have, but it's going to take some heavenly help. Can you say heavenly help? So God sent his angel and rolled away the stone. This morning, I want you to just stay with me, stay with the Spirit of God, and just begin to ask God to start rolling away those stones in your life, rolling away all those hindrances and all those things that block the miracle. You see, there was a miracle behind the stone. You see, Jesus, the one that they had crucified, was now alive, but he needed to be let out. So there was a miracle behind the stone, but the stone had to be moved first. Many of you desire for God to do some miracles in your life, but the stone has to be removed first. When I was in Columbus, Ohio, living with my sister, Belinda, sharing an apartment, I had a walk-in closet that I turned into my prayer closet, and I had a strong desire, and you better get a strong desire. I'm telling you, saints of God, it's time for you to have a stronger appetite for God. It's time for you to thirst and hunger and thirst after righteousness like you never had before, because this is it. There's nothing else after this if you do not receive Jesus Christ. That's it. He is our way out of here. He is the only way. It is not good conduct. It is not big offerings. It is not working in the soup kitchen. It is nothing that you can do from your own hands. Salvation only comes from believing in Jesus Christ, the one that died for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. So I laid in that prayer closet, and I was desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be born again, and it's so important that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you are afraid of the Holy Spirit because you've seen people abuse it, and you've seen people talk about it, and it seemed funny or weird to you, but God is not funny or weird. God is holy, and just because you don't understand it, it doesn't make it wrong. Just because you don't understand it with our finite thinking, it doesn't make it wrong. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, who Jesus Christ sent here to be our helper. Oh, that's good. Because remember I said that we need some heavenly help? That we go through situations, that there's stones and there's blockades in our life, and we need some heavenly help to come down? So Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter, and he is the Holy Spirit. So it's so important that you love God, and you love his son, Jesus Christ, and you love his Holy Spirit too. Father, I lift John Lewis before you right now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for his healing. I thank you that his surgery will go well. I thank you, God, that he has life and life more abundantly. I thank you that he has nothing to fear, God, because you are with him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So as I lay on my back in the closet, okay, so where we're going with this story is this. God wants to do some miracles in our life, but those rocks have to be removed. The stones must be removed, okay? So I laid on my back in my prayer closet, just worshiping God and crying out for him. This is a beautiful thing to do. I prescribe it to each of you. Learn how to just enter into silence and turn off the TV and put down the cell phone and just get in the presence of God and hunger for him, and he will come down and bless you with his presence so sweetly. And that's exactly what he did. And then I had a vision. Can you say vision? God gave me a vision as I was laying on my back. It's like I was in the middle of the desert, okay? I was in the middle of the desert laying on my back. It's like I was removed from laying on a closet floor to laying on a desert floor. And I lifted up my hand to God, and inside of my hand was a rock. And all of a sudden, I saw the hand of God come down and smack the rock out of my hand. And for years, I did not know what that meant. For years, I did not know what that meant. But now I know. You see, in order for the miracle to come into your life, the stone, the first stone that has to be removed is our hard hearts. See, we go through religious formalities. We do we try to do the Sunday thing, and we try to put on our nice Resurrection Sunday clothes and go through the motions, but God knows if you're giving him a rock or your heart. Do you understand? I lifted up my what I thought was my heart to him, and he smacked it out of my hand because it was just a rock. If he wanted rocks, he could make the rocks cry out. But he doesn't want to hear from the rocks. The word of God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we praise the Lord by loving the Lord. Amen. So let's continue. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled alongside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as what? White as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. So those very ones that crucified him, and they were there. Oh, this is good. Those that were there to guard him and block the miracle. See, those that are standing in your way trying to block your blessings. If you would just surrender your full life to God, there is nothing that can stand in your way. Even your enemies have to fall down and be scattered. When you give your heart fully to God, when you love him with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, this is what my father just told me yesterday. He said, listen, Damien, you don't have enemies. If people oppose you, basically, as a child of God, they're not your enemy, they're God's enemies. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you are a child of God, you don't have enemies. They're God's enemies, because the Lord has said, vengeance is mine. Do you understand? Thank you, Jesus. There is nothing that can stop us but us. There is nothing that can stop us but us. Let's continue. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. You see, we're allowing things to scare us when what's inside of us that's about to come out should scare them. Do you understand that? Don't be scared of anything in this entire world. Because look, they tried it once. They tried it once. They tried to block the miracle once. They tried to kill Jesus, the Son of God, once. They won't have another chance because he lives. And not only does he live, but he lives in you. So if he lives in you, then you are unstoppable. Not even death can touch you. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5. Then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. You see, saints of God, this is the moment I'm looking for. When we're able to tell those people that were watching us, they were watching us suffer and watching us go through, we'll be able to bring them back to that problem and say, look at what tried to rob me of victory. It's gone. Look at the problem. It's gone. 6 years ago, I had to have a kidney transplant or I would be dead. And now if I didn't tell you the story, if I didn't make you come back to my point of death and say, look, I should be dead, but God, the God that saved me, the God that healed me, he delivered me from the grasp of death. Mark Pierce sitting back there right now, his wife could have been planning a funeral. I could have been preaching his funeral, but I'm preaching to him this morning, but God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever you're done playing church, there's a real, living, powerful God. Whenever you're done playing church, whenever you're done being lukewarm, there's a fire available that will burn inside of you that no demon in hell will dare mess with you whenever you're done playing church. Whenever we're done being lukewarm, whenever we're ready to be on fire for God, there is a level of holiness that we can attain that men have never seen before. Many men go through the motions and they make churches look bad and they say they belong to God, but they do not. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly. How did they run? The women ran quickly from the tomb. You see, there's been a mandate on the church. See, God told us to go. Go into the world. Go into the highways. Go into the hedges and tell them about me. But we are going at a snail pace While these women, they ran quickly. We must begin to do the things of God quickly because time is running out. Amen? Let's continue. Thank you, God. The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go. Tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests, can you say this with me? Darkness. You see, at the beginning, darkness covered the face of the earth, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was what? Light. So now we see that the devil has been defeated, okay? And Jesus Christ has been resurrected, and the light of the world is real, and he is here. But immediately we see darkness trying to come back to the earth. Let's see what happened. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. You see, they told them the truth. They told them the truth that this Jesus, they were terrified. This Jesus that we crucified, he's alive. Verse 12, a meeting with the elders was called. Can you say darkness? A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body." Say darkness. So although light had come to the world to forgive us of our sins, Jesus Christ had been resurrected, the devil, there he goes meddling again, trying to push his antichrist agenda and say that Jesus, that did not really happen. And that lie from then is still alive. Do you hear me? That meeting that they had where they paid the soldiers to lie, that lie is still alive and causing men to lose out on the only way out of here, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. "If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe, and they said what they were told to say. They lied. The truth, Jesus Christ, had been resurrected. The truth. He was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. Remember, as he talked to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he said, "If you tear this temple down, and 3 days later, I'll build it again." I'm trying to tell you, he was telling the truth. This is Jesus the Christ that I'm talking about this morning. And he really is alive. Verse 16. Let's continue. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. That lie that Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead. That lie, and some will pour a little truth into the lie and say, "Well, he was just a great teacher, but he wasn't the Son of God." Nope, tell the whole truth. He was the Son of God. He was crucified, and he has been risen from the grave. Amen? All right. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. I guess we should give ourselves a little break. I guess we should not pretend that the doubt that some of us have about Jesus Christ isn't real, because these people saw him with their own eyes. They saw him once on the cross, then they saw him again walking among them, but yet they still doubted. Their doubt was real, but their doubt could not overcome the reality of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given How much authority? I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey. You see, for so long, churches have been all about packing in the numbers, all about just getting people to come. But listen, we're not supposed to be makers of church members. We're supposed to be makers of disciples. Disciples that listen to and follow the commandments of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way that you'll live. This statement might be shocking to some of you, but it is true. It is possible to be a church member and still go to hell. The truth be told, it is possible to still come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, clap your hands, sing the songs, and when you die, you go to hell. Why? How is that so? I'll tell you in a moment. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. It is not in church membership or attendance where life is. The Jews were doing that already. They were already going to the synagogue. So it's not about going to the synagogue. It's not about coming to church that saves us. Okay, yes, it's an activity that is commanded of us because the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. So yes, coming to church is important, but listen to this. Coming to Christ is more important. Because you can come to church and stay the same. But when you come to Christ, there should be a difference in your life. The Word of God says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things, the old things have passed away and all things have been made new. I thank God that I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Okay, here's what happened. Here's what happened. You know me. We grew up together. All right. Some of you know me. Okay. I haven't always been pastor. Haven't always been police officer. I lived a life of sin. I was out there. I was living crazy, okay? All right? I was deep in sin and iniquity, and I was lustful and a drunkard and all those things, living in sin. But here's what happened, okay? I started to come to church, all right? And here's what happened. God didn't make a better me. He made a new me. Do you hear what I just said? God doesn't make a better you. He makes a new you. I'll tell you guys. God doesn't make a better you. He makes a new you. Thank you, Jesus. You see, that old you, when he was nailed to the cross, that's where that old you went. Because he was crucified for our sins. And when he died, that old us died with him. Listen closely. But when he rose, he gave us the ability to have that new life that exists within him. And so listen, I can stand here today and say this, that I am in Christ and Christ is in me. That's what makes me a new creation. If that's the truth for you, then you can say it too. Say this with me. I am in Christ. Say it again. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. Praise God. That's what makes us a new creation. That's what breaks the power of sin. I used to want to sin. I used to love to sin. But something happened in me when I exchanged my old self for the new model. The new model is better. The new model has life. The new model has hope and faith and joy and strength because of the one that lives inside of me. The one that lives inside of me has overcome the sin of this world. He walked this world and he was tempted in every point, but yet without sin. And since he did it, Now I can do it because he lives in me. I don't have to sin anymore. The power of sin has been broken. Let's give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Being a Christian is not behavior modification. Being a Christian is not a change of behavior. Listen, it doesn't mean I cuss less. It doesn't mean I drink less. It doesn't mean I lust less, all right? Being a Christian is not a change in behavior. It's a change in being. Do you hear what I said? It's not a change of behavior, holy God. It's a change of being. I am no longer the old self. The old self is dead and was buried with Christ, and the new self is full of Jesus and the light of God, and I don't have to sin. But if I sin, do you hear what I'm saying? I don't have to sin, but if I sin and when I sin. And the word of God says this, that if any of us say we are without sin, we are a liar. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. But thank God we have a Savior. And not only do we have a Savior, we have an intercessor in heaven named Jesus Christ who is praying over us right now. And it is his desire that none of us, not a one, be lost. He's so real. But you must throw down the rocks and give him your heart. Because, see, right here in my belly, see, can you look right here? Right here is my brother, Carlos Tibbs. He only has one kidney now because he gave me his, and they put the new kidney right here. Okay? The old kidneys are in my back, you know, protected by a rib cage, and they didn't take those out, okay? So it's still in there. This is good. Ooh, I hope you catch this. All right? So the new kidney is right here, and they put it in. I wasn't born with this kidney. And my kidneys failed. My natural kidneys failed. And by the time they caught the failure, they couldn't stop it. Death had already set in. I was throwing up just about every single day. I was a sick and a dying man. And my brother said, he stepped up and said, listen, you can have one of my kidneys. And because he was willing to give me what belonged to him, I am now alive. Well, let me tell you something about a bigger issue than kidney failure. Let me tell you about the sin issue that we're born with. And we are born with a mind that is against God. We are born with a heart that loves this world more than God. And if we don't get a transplant, we will die and go to hell. Jesus Christ was the only way out of here. John the Baptist came before him, but he said, no, I am not great. He must increase and I must decrease. He said, I'm not even worthy to tie the shoes of Jesus. And as John the Baptist was baptizing people one day, he saw Jesus walking towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. In exchange for our sin and in exchange for our death, Jesus Christ stepped in and not only gave a kidney, he gave his whole life. He didn't do those sins. We did them. He didn't deserve the death penalty. We did. We did that. But just like my brother stepped in, my wife was pregnant with my son, Drayden, when I was dying of kidney failure. And I wondered if I would ever see him. Can you say, but God? Not only have I been able to live and see one son, but God has blessed me to see two sons. If you will give him your heart, he will roll away the death sentence that belonged to us, but that was put upon his son, Jesus Christ. Let's go back into the word for a little while. John chapter 3. Praise God. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. Say this with me. I can't afford to just be religious. We're going to say that again, and I want it to sink in, because we don't want to lose our souls just being religious. We're going to say it again. I can't afford to just be religious. Here we have Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. There's a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, which means teacher. Okay, so he recognized him as teacher. He didn't say son of God. He didn't say Lamb of God. He didn't say Holy One. He just recognized him as teacher. All right, what do you call Jesus? Who do you say that he is? Do you hear me this morning? Who do you recognize Jesus to be? Was he just a teacher, or is he the savior of your souls? After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. That was the extent of it. Not to save us, but just to teach us. Thank you, God. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. But I'm here to tell you, not only was God with Jesus, God was Jesus. Verse 3, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, okay? And this truth stands for all time. So listen as I tell it to you, congregation, and even to myself, okay? I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Say this with me. I must be born again. Being born again is not falling to your knees one time and saying a prayer and then going off back to do whatever you used to do. Being born again is not coming forward during an altar call and then going back and doing what you used to do. Being born again is when you exchange your heart, you exchange your life, you exchange your sin for righteousness, and you go out and you begin to obey and follow Jesus. That's what being a born again means. I fear that many people think that they are born again, but really are not. How do we know if we are truly born again? If we obey the commandments. If we obey the commandments. If you love me, then keep my commandments. If we are commandment breakers continually and time after time again, we're living a life of iniquity and sin, then we have not experienced the new birth. It's as simple as that. We must be born again. Verse 4, what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Verse 5, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Say this with me, it's spiritual. That's being born again. It's spiritual. It's not natural. I still look like the same Damien. I still need to lose weight and get in shape. That didn't change. Say, it's spiritual. Stop looking for the change on the outside. The change is on the inside. When you're born again, there's a change that happens on the inside, and then it will be seen on the outside. Amen? Verse 5 again. I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce only human life. You see, my mother and father, they conceived me, but they cannot give me eternal life. Did you hear what I said? My mother and father are sitting back there against the wall, and they were able to give birth in 1977 to a baby boy, a heavy, hungry baby boy. So they gave me my natural life, but they could not give me spiritual life. All they could hope to do was raise me in the fear of God so that one day I would come to a decision that would say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want a way out of here. I desire life. Amen. So, verse 7. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. And Jesus began to talk to him and say, how could you be a respected leader and not understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. So as I stand here and I tell each and every one of you that I am not the same Damian Tibbs that was born in Cleveland, Ohio, that I have been made born again. And when this heart stops beating, and when death overcomes this physical body, I have a new life that I have received from Jesus Christ, and I will live eternally with God because I have been born again. Okay? So listen, in order to get out of here, in order to go to God, we must understand that we were born once naturally, but there must be a second birth. There must be a second birth. This is Jesus. I don't care what your religion teaches. I don't care what your doctrine teaches. This is the words of Jesus Christ. And he says, you must, hallelujah, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. How then do we achieve it? It's by faith. Every one of you, okay, it would have been unfair for Adam to sin and we all be born into sin and then we all have to die and go to hell. That would not be justice. But God sent justice when he sent his son to live a life for us in flesh, in a body, to live that life sinless. There was no lamb or no dove, or no goat that could take away the sins of the world. It just had to be the Son of God, and he laid down his life for us. We must understand that Jesus said that in John 15:13, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for friends. So brothers and sisters, I stand here today, and I plead with you to lay down your life. Lay down that natural life, because regardless of whether you lay it down or not, it's going to fall to the ground. It is appointed for man that we live and that we also die. The Bible says that there is a time that we live and there is a time to die, but Jesus Christ has swallowed up this thing called death, and he has robbed the grave of its victory and its sting. And if we would believe on the Son of God, if we would use the faith, okay, God has given all of us a measure of faith. Faith isn't just for, I don't have enough groceries in my cabinet this week, and I believe, God, that you could fill it. Yes, faith works for that, but faith has a greater purpose. Faith's greater purpose is to get you from earth to glory. And every single one of you have the capacity to believe. I have given you truth. It's important that you mix your truth with faith. And the mixture of truth and faith produces that new spiritual life that I'm talking to you about this morning. God desires you to know this. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and might have life more abundantly. Number one, the first letter in life stands for love. The first thing we all must understand is that God loves us. Say this with me. God loves me. You must have a revelation of God's love for you to have life. He loves you. He knows your hang-ups. He knows your mistakes, and he forgives them, okay? His arms are open wide. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to have life. The second phase of love is loving God back. We must learn how to love him back, and if we love him, we'll follow his commandments. The third phase of love is loving yourself. Some of you don't love yourself anymore because the devil has lied to you for so long and told you how pitiful you are, how worthless you are. You'll never make it. You can never be a Christian. You'll never make it. You're no good. You've tried that life before, and it's all lies. God can give you the power to overcome every temptation that you've ever faced and give you life and hope and love. Finally, the last part of love is to love each other. Look at the person on your left for a moment. If there's no one there, just hold tight. Look at the person on your right for a moment. Okay, back up front. God has commanded that we love each other. How do we know if we've truly been born again? If we have love one for another. You hear what I'm saying? His love is awesome. And your love should be awesome for that person that's sitting beside you. That's how you know if you've been born again, if you love them. Amen? Next, the next letter in life, and we're almost done. I know you want to go eat your Easter meals. All right? We're almost done. The next letter in life is I. I stands for what? Identity. You see, in order to have new life, you must have a new identity. Remember, I told you that you were born in the flesh, but you can't stay flesh. If you want to experience God and know God, you have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be born again by faith. So there's a new identity waiting for you. I'm so glad for this new identity. My old identity was messed up. I had to tell the truth. I was speaking to some kids at Bath Elementary about making wise decisions and about how I became to become a police officer. And one of them asked me a question. They said, "Have you ever been arrested?" I was like, "Woo, where did that come from? Oh, man. Woo." So you know what I had to say? Yes. Yes, I have. And everybody's looking like, for what? Yes, I have. I told them when I was 19 or 20 years old, I didn't make the mistake. I'm not going to call it a mistake. Sin is not a mistake. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sin is not a mistake. Sin is a choice. So I chose to drink alcohol, and I chose to get behind the wheel of a car, and I chose to go to Waffle House with a headlight out. So the state trooper chose to pull me over, chose to give me a breathalyzer, and chose to arrest me for driving under the influence. Okay? You know what I'm so thankful for this morning? That I have a new identity. That I'm not that person anymore. That I've been born again. And all my sins have been washed away. So, if you're really born again, you'll have life. You'll have love and all those four things I said. And you'll have a new identity. The letter F in life stands for what? Faith. You'll have faith. And even if it's as small as a grain of mustard seed, it can move mountains. Your faith is great big and your mountain is nothing. When you're born again, there's a faith that lives on the inside of you that's just not yours alone. It's the faith of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. So when I lay hands, oh, praise God. This is exactly what Jesus told me once. My son, Drayden, was laying on the bed sick, not feeling well. And I went to lay my hands on him and pray for him. And Jesus told me this, Damien, thank you, Jesus. When you lay your hand on your son and pray for him, it's just like me doing it. Do you hear what I said? Why do you find that shocking when we already said that I am in Christ and Christ is in me? That blew me away, that the faith that I have is not backed upon what I think or what I can do, but what he thinks and what he can do. And finally, the letter E in life stands for what? Eternal purpose. That we have a purpose in this world, and that purpose is to glorify God, our risen Savior, and begin to tell people about his goodness. Many of you have a testimony, but if you don't share it with people, you're robbing God of glory. Many of you would have never stood up here and said that you've ever been arrested. But if I don't tell you I've been arrested, then I can't tell you about the beauty of the new creation. If I don't tell you what I used to do, I cheat him of what he has done for me. Do you understand? So be willing to share your testimony, because it is by our testimony that we overcome. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Our eternal purpose, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine that men see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus was the first to do that. He let his light so shine that men might see his good works and they begin to glorify his Father in heaven. Each of you, if you will accept it, you have an eternal purpose that is holy. But whenever you're done playing in the sandbox, God wants to give you the world. Whenever you're done playing in the sandbox of sin, God is ready to open up the whole world for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you're done playing in the sandbox of sin, when you're done playing and trying to obtain and build your own kingdom in a sandbox, I'm trying to tell you that every time it rains and every time the wind blows, your sandcastles, they just blow over. Because there's no power and no promise to the life that you try to build. You got to be willing to lose your life for his sake. It's time for us to leave our sandboxes and step out into his kingdom. And the word of God says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You want a better job? Get a better relationship with God first. You want a better marriage? Get a better relationship with God first. You want to be married? You don't want to be single? Get a better relationship with God first. We must be born again. We must be born again. Father, I pray for these, your people, who have heard your word about a resurrected Savior named Jesus Christ or Yeshua. He truly was who he said he was. He truly could do what he said he could do. And Father, we thank you that it is only by your Spirit that you can draw men and women and children to repentance. It's through your love and kindness that you've drawn men. I ask Jesus Christ that by your Spirit, by your resurrected life, that you would begin to go around this room and examine the hearts and souls of every person. And if you find someone that is not born again, and it's your desire to truly save them and set them free, may they, God, by faith, step out and say, I am ready to be born of the Spirit. I am ready to be born again. Jesus said it is a must that we be born again. So, Father, we ask we humbly ask that if today is the day of salvation for someone in this church, that you would let them come. The Word of God says that all of you that labor and of heavy burdens, let them come. I open up the altar at this time for anyone that is ready to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Is there one that will come down and say, today is the day where I am born again? Or today is the day where I leave the sandbox. Today is the day where I rededicate my life to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's one, I just ask that you would quickly come down and we're going to pray with you and allow your faith to be combined with the truth that has been preached and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Father, I bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Those that would be embarrassed to step forward and